In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters in the risen and triumphant Lord Jesus Christ, we turn our attention back again to elements of the gospel lesson. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. You will be hated by everyone because of me. Ever had a dear family member, a friend, or a workmate in whom you'd invested a lot of time, energy, in relationship, make such a statement to you because they understood that they usually traveled much of life's path outside the usual, the mainstream, the accepted, and they wanted you to know that if you continued to hang with them, be their friend, be on their side, known to the world as someone who was part of their support group, that it would cost you. That there literally would be people, maybe even people in your own family or others in your workplace or others in the neighborhood who would hate you for it to the point of wanting you dead, or at least out of their lives and out of their minds. How do you respond when someone says that to you? Well, our immediate reaction is never. You don't have to worry about me turning against you. I'm here for you. I will be here for you. You can count on me. But what's your gut really telling you? What are those whispers in the back of your mind saying to you? This relationship is important to me, and I mean it when I pledge my support to this person that I love and am invested in, but their cause isn't my cause. This edge journey that they're taking isn't one that I intend to take myself, even though I do support them. How long does it take for the realities of sinful human beings in a sinful human world supporting other sinful human beings to where it simply plays out that no matter how valuable the relationship, the issues involved that are truly in the crosshairs of the moment will determine whether or not you can hold to your promises? Imagine this for a moment. And I know for some of you it's a lifelong journey, so it's hard to imagine. But imagine for a moment you were someone who had never really heard of Jesus before, knew absolutely nothing about the Bible or any of the truths that the Bible shares. And you have a friend who is concerned about you, who is concerned about your soul and your eternal realities, and so they begin to witness to you. And you're open to what they're saying, but it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, and then suddenly they hand you a Bible, and they tell you, I'm not going to push you to read this, but I think it would be good for you to get to know this Jesus that I love and trust a little better. So, while there's a lot of things in that Bible, I'll point you towards the first four books of the New Testament, the Gospels are what they're called, and that's where you'll hear Jesus speak in his own voice. That's where you'll get to know the most about Jesus. And so, you knowing nothing else about Jesus, start to dabble a little bit, to read a little bit there. And maybe on the second or the third day that you're reading in the New Testament, you happen upon these very verses. And you read Jesus say, "You will be hated by everyone because of me." Aren't you thinking to yourself, well, that's rather brusque and to the point and transparent and unpretentious? There's no way of getting around that statement. And maybe you're starting to think to yourself, what all else does this Jesus have to say that he's so confident that it doesn't matter when in time or so society I live, if I follow him and trust him and do everything he tells me to do, there are going to be people that hate me to the point of wanting me dead, even family members wanting me dead. Is that the moment at which you just drop the book and say, I'm not so sure about this? Or is it the moment you dig deeper and find out more, to find out exactly what Jesus is all saying and why he thinks of himself as so controversial? Now, there's the likelihood that you're really on the opposite side of that issue. That you have spent most of your life, maybe even from earliest childhood, maybe having been washed in the waters of baptism as just the tiniest of little infants, that you understand your life progression as a trajectory where Jesus has been your friend. Jesus has been your companion. Jesus has been the one that gives you hope and peace and forgiveness. You know him as your Lord and Savior. And at this stage of your life, when you hear statements like this, you say, well, you know, that's just Jesus being Jesus, right? But if you have that attitude towards it, are you really thinking through and understanding what Jesus is saying here? Even if you've had a lifelong relationship with Jesus and his word, if you're wondering at all about why Jesus would make this kind of bold statement, this prediction about you personally, that if you really listen to him, embrace his word, embrace him as your Lord and Savior, and follow his word in your life to the point where you're actually sharing it with others, you will get pushback. Expect the hate. Expect the hate even from those who share your life with you in very intimate ways when you speak words they don't want to hear. Expect the hate to the point where they will want you dead. If you don't have that understanding, and if you have any uncertainty about what Jesus is talking about, you really need to dig in deeper, for sure, at this point of your life and say, okay, what does Jesus all have to say that is so very controversial, so counterintuitive to human nature, so countercultural to any given moment in any culture's history? I mean, you think about it. Jesus says these words, and we're immediately thinking about what's going on in our immediate reality of our world today, here, United States of America, in this moment. But Jesus says this very transparent thing in so general a way that he's really applying it to every culture the world has ever known, every moment in history the world has ever known. If you know the one true God as your creator, and you follow him in every way, that his word means life for you right now and eternally, to the point where you are ready to surrender yourself completely to everything he has to say. Not just living it yourself, but occasionally proclaiming it from a rooftop. Be careful getting up on that ladder. Where are you really at? You know what it'll cost you. You know the very real hot button issues of our culture in this moment, and you know there are people that you share your life with on a daily basis that don't want to hear a word from you of what Jesus has to say. Do not want to know a thing about God's ideas about morality and priority and relationship and language. I mean, you start thinking about it. Some of the simplest things you could possibly say that are so very basic to a Christian life perspective and world perspective. They will hate you for it. But do not be afraid of them. For there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. Expect the hate. Expect your Heavenly Father and your brother and Savior, His Son, Jesus Christ, your Lord, and His invisible but all-powerful and all-knowing Holy Spirit to have your back, the way the psalmist spoke of it, the way Paul speaks of it to Timothy, the way Jeremiah speaks of it in the Old Testament prophecy that we've read today, and how Jesus speaks of it here. He always knows what's going on. He always knows when you're proclaiming His truth. He always knows every opportunity He's placed in front of you that you are now seizing as one of His children to live for Him and speak His truth to a hostile world that doesn't want to hear it. So expect the hate, but keep proclaiming the gospel. Expect the hate, but continue to confess your Savior and your Lord, not just in your presence in this place and the things that you do here, but in your words, in the love that you show others, and sometimes in the correction that you offer them. Isn't it fascinating that either direction you go with the basics of God's truth, the world around you is not going to like it. If it's all about the law and the fact that the law reveals our sin, or whether it's about the gospel pointing to Jesus as the only Savior who has paid for every last sin, whether it's God showing each and every one of us just how guilty and truly eternally useless we all are in regard to any effort that we could make to earn anything from God, or whether it's the sweet, eternal, complete answer that Good Friday and Easter Sunday give us in the suffering, the death, the payment for every human sin, and in that resurrection, the proof, the receipt that God's accepted that payment from Jesus for you and for everyone. Doesn't matter. You proclaim the simple basics of either side of that equation of the balanced word of God, and it will be rejected, and people will hate you for it. And that shouldn't surprise you or alarm you. It should be part of your expectations, because Jesus had made it clear that that is what is going to happen, but it also shouldn't stop you. How remarkable it is that God has given us a gift in the mirror of His word, showing us who we truly are. It is actually the great equalizer. In a world that is always talking about equity and inclusion, God's got that down. He looks at each and every single one of us in the eye and says, "You're a sinner. You're broken. You cannot redeem yourself. And you've got all kinds of crazy ideas that link with the crazy ideas of the world in which you live that are not going to be in your best interests. They're not going to lead you to happiness. They're not going to lead you to fulfillment. They're not going to lead you to peace and better relationships and all the things that you think you're pursuing. And ultimately, they're not going to lead you to the better life, the eternal life that I want you to live when your journey on this earth is over. And then he follows that with an equally equitable proclamation of every single one of us, no matter who we are, no matter what we've made our lives about, no matter how many wayward, rebellious, immoral things we have thought or done or said. It's paid for freely and completely in the blood of Jesus Christ, his one and only Son. And again, the world doesn't want to hear that either. The world doesn't want to hear about one way of salvation. Because if there's only one truth and only one way of salvation, then there's only one way to live that is compliant to what God has told us, that is truly pleasing to God as reflective, responsive thanks and praise and love and a demonstration of our faith. The world has no time for that. No time for that to the point where it will push back violently against anyone who proclaims all of these answers are the only true answers. The only acceptable answers, the only answers that really bring the consolation necessary to the haunted human mind and soul. When it's all said and done, the hateful world around us that doesn't like God's answers, that points us to all kinds of other things, doesn't want to admit that all those things that you pursue, that the world tells you are good and right and worth your time, and even if it may cost you your eternity, you need to follow it, are going to leave you moments where your heart is empty, without answers, without peace, without any hope bigger than yourself and the sinners that surround you. It's only God and his word in both law and gospel that gives us answers that actually make sense, that console, that offer peace and strength and hope and certainty about what we're living right now and what we will live forever with him. So Jesus tells you, don't be surprised. Expect the hate, expect the pushback. But don't let that slow you down from listening to your Lord. Don't let that slow you down from growing in your reliance and your trust of every last one of his promises. And don't let that slow you down from offering that peace and that hope, that forgiveness and that unconditional love and that unwavering commitment to an eternal future, from you sharing it with anyone else. Because after all, who's going to have your ear? Who are you willing to listen to? This world that gets more broken and crazy and wild with its ideas on a daily basis? Or the voice of the one who will one day say to his Father, when it's your moment, as every human being will experience it, to stand before him and hear Jesus say, oh, this is one of ours. This is my brother, your child. He listened, he expected, and he spoke my name in the world. And now we speak him welcome here. forever. Amen. Or grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.